today, Lord, we are just grateful, Lord, continuously grateful, Lord God, just for life, for breath, Lord, for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord Jesus, this morning we come before you, Lord God, as a people. We come before you, Lord God, like sheep, Father God, that need you, the shepherd, to lead and guide us, Lord. To lead and guide us into all truth, even by your Holy Spirit. Lord, the Spirit of truth. Thank you, Father, that you've put your Spirit in us, that your Spirit bears witness, Lord God, one to another, Lord, that we are yours, Lord, and you are our God. Father, we are grateful, Lord, to know you. We're grateful, Father, to be called by your name, Lord Jesus, and to be called to walk with you as your disciples, Father, in service and, Lord, just in relationship each and every day. So, Lord, thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we do bind every demonic spirit, every work of the devil, and we break it and we cast it out in Jesus' name. We call it null and void and tell you, devil, you have no right in this place. And so, in Jesus' name, we take authority over you and we do throw you out. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, for, Lord, the free flow of your Spirit here, Lord. The Spirit, Lord, of truth and of liberty, Father. We pray, Lord God, for your freedom to rest on this place and on the lives of every person that hears your word this day. Lord, I just acknowledge again openly there's nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And so to your Spirit, I do yield right now as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, thank God that we get one more day to live on this planet and in this life. You know, I used to have some friends in university that we used to have Bible study together. Young guys that in the middle of a lot of things going on, that wanted to walk with God, and they would get together, they would encourage each other, we would read the Word together. It was no major structure, just we'd get together like that. And I used to have one friend in there that all the time when he came and, you know, they'd say the testimony or something, and he'd say, I just thank God that I got up this morning, because he said somebody went to bed last night that didn't get up this morning. Yeah, he would say, someone went to bed last night and didn't get up this morning. That wasn't me. I got up this morning, so I have one more day to walk with Jesus. And you know, the truth of it is, no matter how long people live in this life, everyone's time in this world is very short. So there's not a soul that came into this world that stays in this world. Everyone that was before is now gone. So is there anyone from 200 years ago that is still walking around in Sri Lanka that was here 200 years ago? In Sweden, in countries with better health care, any of these places, did they keep them alive long enough? Did they make it 200 years? In fact, is there a billionaire alive that was able to buy themselves an extra 100 years with all of their money? Is there one of them? If there was, they would have done it. They're all gone. So keeping in mind the fact that every one of us is passing through this life, what should be our priorities? Because if you think about it, okay, the fact that we come through for such a short window, it's really, really small when you consider the scale of the universe and the age of the earth and all of these other things. So what should be our priorities? What should be our focus as people of God? Okay, I'll ask that. Give me a few. What are some things that people should, as God's people, where should our minds be, our heart be, our treasure be, while we're here for this window? Okay, somebody looked up and said we should be focusing on things above. Yeah. Preparing ourselves. So preparing ourselves, so using this window of life to prepare ourselves for when we're not here anymore. Okay. So what else? To please God in this world. So because of the fact that we're still here, there's also some purpose and some reason for us being here in this life. Yes, of course. There's on one element, part of life is preparing yourself to leave this world because it is an inevitability. It is something that happens. But then also, once that preparation is being made and you understand that component, then also, there's purpose and reason for me still existing in this dimension right now, right here. So for example, Jesus, He came into this world as a sacrifice. He came in this world to pay a debt that man could not pay. He came to make the way for us to be in connection with the Father. But in that process too, He also lived a life. He also did a lot of different things. Everything that He did, He said, I only do what I see the Father doing, right? So while He was here for a purpose and a mission, He also lived a day-to-day life doing the will of the Father in that process. And showing us, teaching us, if you want to live the abundant life, follow me. It will cost you everything, but you will reap and understand and know what eternal life really is. Now, in this process, there is a lot of things that we come up against as God's people. Because we've established this before, the majority majority of the people that are walking around in this life, in this world, do not have a heart for truth, for light, for the kingdom of God. The majority do not have that heart. So in Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 7, when he talked about many go through that broad road, that big gate, and the gate to life narrow, few there are that find it. Now Jesus is that gate. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way to life. There's no other door, no other way that a man can receive life eternal except by going through that door, who is Christ. Okay, the medical clinic is just right over there, yes? Okay, you can dance around here, do all these things that you want to do, whatever you want, but if you want to go to the medical clinic, there's only one door to go into the clinic. So if you're hurt and you want to stay alive, the only way is to go through that one door, that is, the life is on the other side of that door. And you can stand outside, you can do pujas, you can scream your head off, you can do all of those things, but if you want to get medical help and medical attention, you have to go through the door. So the world does all of that. The world, they have a big song and dance, and they have a big party, and they scream at each other, and they put up a cross, and they put up a this, and they do a chanting, and they have all night things, but they don't go through the door. Because the reason people don't want to go through the door, Jesus is the light that came into the world. If you're going to go through that door, the light will expose the very core of your heart and who you are. And as long as people stay out of that light and away from that light, they think that they can continue to go on and nobody will know who they really are and what they're really about. Because their heart is inclined to evil, because their deeds are evil, because of that, and they don't want to come into the light, they choose that darkness. They choose the darkness of religion over a true relationship with Christ. Do you know that people will go for month to month, week to week, all these things for years and never ever have a real relationship with Christ? Never once allow the light of life that would heal them and set them free to be a part of their reality, they close themselves off to that? Now, if you've chosen to follow Christ, you have to know that you are in the minority, okay? So Jesus calls, He extends life to the people, He extends life to those that would follow Him. Those that choose to follow Him is not everyone. Right? It's not those that choose to follow Him, that's not the majority of the people. Now, that light of life lives inside the heart and the being of the follower of Christ. The light of God lives inside God's people. See, that's why we become the temple of the Spirit of God. So Romans 12 talks about our bodies being living sacrifices. And Paul wrote about, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So the Spirit of God lives inside His people, and that Spirit is bright. So as you, with the Spirit of God living in you, walk around in this world, you shine because of the Spirit of God that lives in you. Now, as you shine because the Spirit of God lives in you, you are shining in what kind of places? Bright places or dark places? You're shining in dark places. Because unless someone has the Spirit of God living in them, they are in darkness. They're under the kingdom and the power of darkness, not in light. So Acts 26 talks about this, how even Paul in his own testimony is talking about going from the power of Satan unto God, from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light. I give you the scriptures because I got some emails yesterday. Some people were like, you know, what was that scripture about? Something. So write them down. You know, I'm happy to. But God has put all of this in His Word so that we would understand the reality that we as the people of God live with while we're here. So now, because the light lives in you and you walk around in a dark place, is it a surprise that people want to attack you? I find it interesting sometimes that people that have been walking with Christ are wondering, why is it that people are attacking me and trying to make my life difficult? It's because you're from a different kingdom. It's because you're an entirely different people.
Hetu tamai oba sampurnayenma wenas manushya kota asya kene inna nisai.
It's because as you walking around with the light of God in your life, you shine, they do not. They feel the presence of God when you are in their presence. They don't like that. What they would like, though, is to try to drain that life out of you if they could. That they would like to do, but they don't want to have anything to do with that light that's in you. Now, you know how they drain you? Okay. I'll show you how they drain you. They drain you by you of your free will switching from spirit to flesh, from that which is spiritual to that which is carnal. They drain you by being able to get you to take your heart and your focus off of things above and to get it now caught up in things going on around you and outside of you. So what the goal there is to affect you. See, if you go into a situation, if you are in a context, and now they see you, they see the light of God in you, yes? Now, if I am a worldly, carnal person as part of the kingdom of darkness, if that's the kind of person that I am, and I see that light there, if I can access the light in that person, I can now take that power out of that person. So in order to do that, I now must get that person into their flesh and out of their spirit, into their carnal person and away from their connection with God. And so the way that they do that is by antagonizing you, by baiting you, by doing whatever it is to get you into a place where you lose your spiritual mind and you get into your flesh. Now, this is part of the way the world operates. And this is also why it's important as God's people, as God's children, that you are keep, whenever you are tested or tried, that's why Scripture tells you, be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. See, if you start getting anxious and perplexed about the situations around you, what happens is now you stop, like Peter on the water, walking to Jesus, you stop looking at Jesus, you start looking at everything else around you, you start sinking. So we already have discussed in the past how even the universe and the earth and all of these things are held in balance by the Spirit of God. And we've even talked about how your physical body and all of the different systems going on even within, if you had to manage them, you would die right now. God has put it in place so that they manage, they continue on. You don't have to manage it.
Okay.
that being the case, God wants you, if He's taking care of 99% of everything else, He wants you to trust Him all the way. He wants you to trust Him completely in everything. Okay. In the middle of all of this, there is something that happens to every person while you walk through this life. There's certain phases, first of all, that every child of God will go through as He disciples you and trains you and teaches you. So we know there's a wilderness experience. We know that there's certain things that God does to prepare His people to continue the journey. And what happens is that process that He puts us through, that is a process where we are prepared and we become a true reflection of Him in the earth. We really become an ambassador for Christ. Okay. One thing that also every person in this world faces, every person in this world at some point faces betrayal. Everyone. Okay, first, let me talk about the people on the side of the world. In the world, everyone that sells out to the world, they all ultimately get betrayed by the system they sold out to. Because the devil is a liar, the devil is the father of all lies, everything that he promises them, in the end it's not really there, they bite and devour, chew each other up, come the next generation. Sorry. And theirs is a system of betrayal. And they build themselves a hierarchy that they all submit themselves to, and they are always trying to climb up. The one on the top of their hierarchy is Lucifer. So, like you've seen the pyramid, you've seen that shape, no? So the pyramid is just a representation of what the world system is. Lots and lots of people on the base, and they're all trying to work themselves up to the top. So sell out young, sell out early, so you can really get a good start and get to the top, right? And the ones that are closer to the top are all sad, old, grumpy people. They've done some horrible, horrible things to get there, and they're so afraid that somebody's going to knock them out of that place. And they're never allowed to get old, and they're never allowed to die. Because if they ever get old, they throw away the old people there, and if they ever die, they go to hell.
You think,
It's actually insanity to sell out to the world system, because if you just stop and look at it for a few hours, just stop and think about it, it's absolutely insane. But now, the people of God in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light, right? Now, we don't live in the pyramid system. We don't live in the hierarchies of man. What God does, just you know your body that you live in is a representation of the kingdom of God. Did you know that? So you could think about your body, and in thinking about your body, God can explain things to you about His kingdom and how His kingdom works. So, in the body there are many parts, right? But all of those parts are connected to the head. And the head gives the instruction to the different parts for what to do, and as the parts do what they're supposed to, the body functions and goes about what the head intends for it to do. And there's a lot of things that the head is instructing the body to do that you are not consciously aware of, but the head is doing that. And then there are conscious instructions. When the head says time to get up and to move, the legs get under you, the body gets raised up, and you start walking. Now, this is why you are part of the priesthood of all believers. Because in the priesthood of all believers, there's only one high priest. Who is Christ Jesus. Everyone else is a little priest. So I'm a little priest, you're a little priest, Nelson's a little priest, Nirmala's a little priest. Stella's a little priest, Ruth's a little priest. Callistus, he's a big little priest. Of us are priests, part of the priesthood of all believers. Now what happens is the Spirit of God, because what does the head do? The head puts every piece in the body the way that He wants that piece to be. So He needs the lungs to breathe. He doesn't need the lungs to pump blood. The lungs need to breathe. He needs the stomach to digest food. He doesn't need the stomach to walk from here to there. What happens is the Spirit of God puts different responsibility with each part of the body depending on how He made and fashioned that part. And you, as a follower of Christ, you find fulfillment and joy in fulfilling the part in the body of Christ that God uniquely designed you for. Now, this is why there's so many people, the world people are miserable, because none of them are doing what they were made to do. Because for them, there's no fulfillment in that side because they don't fulfill the purpose they were made for. So they do all kinds of things. They build huge companies and they buy nice cars. They get beautiful wives and handsome husbands. Kids go to good schools. They build huge temples, mosques, churches. They build all of that stuff, whatever they need to build. And then they have to show it to each other, because unless somebody else sees it, who's going to approve all of that stuff? They have to show it to each other. So it's a big show. We need to show everyone. Come, see. But they're all miserable. Even if they get moments of little happiness where they drug themselves or they get something, but their constant set point is very miserable. The kingdom of God and God's people, we have purpose and joy and fulfillment as we do that which God's called us to do. Now, in what God's called you to do, all of us have different areas of responsibility. But none of that is warranting lording it over anyone else. See, this is where the world thinks a certain way, the people of God think a different way. Jesus said, if you want to be great in this kingdom, you have to learn to serve. So anybody that tries to come here and is bigger than the position of a servant, they are now too big for God to want to do anything with them. They're too big. Too much of a big shot. Anyone that tries to do anything, God's people are called to serve. Yes. Okay. So now, I want to get back to this point. Now we are following Christ Jesus, fulfilling His purpose. We have the joy of the Spirit of God, the light of God in us. and we walk through this world fulfilling God's purpose, then we encounter betrayal. Okay, I'll give you one of the ultimate examples of this. Go to Matthew 26. And verse 40, let's see here. Verse 46 says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And said Jesus unto him, "Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Think thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" And in the same hour Jesus said to the multitude, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And then the disciples forsook him and fled. Okay. Now this is the ultimate betrayal of all time. The Son of God, the pure spotless Lamb, innocent blood, betrayed. Now, what is Jesus' response in this situation? Because here is somebody that has walked with Christ for 3+ years. He's walked with Jesus for over 3 years of ministry. Here is someone that Jesus empowered to do miracles. When Jesus sent out the 12, Judas was one of the 12. He went into cities, he did miracles, he healed the sick, he proclaimed the kingdom of God. Signs and wonders followed. And yet it says in scriptures that there came a point where Satan himself entered into Judas. Now, what is Jesus' response here in this situation? This is God that knows all things, knows the hearts, knows the intentions. Does He call down fire, destroy everything? No, when Jesus meets Judas even there, even in that situation, He says, in verse 50, He says unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Why did you come here, friend? He knew. He said it right before. He knew why he came. Jesus knows, the people of God know. But there is a bigger purpose going on here than Judas. And there's a bigger purpose going on here than Judas's own agenda. See, there's all kinds of speculation for why Judas did what he did. One, Judas was a zealot, so he was thinking about this tangible kingdom, and he wanted to force Jesus' hand, make him have to establish this kingdom. And then there's another spell where it also talks about, you know, he was the keeper of the money bag and he helped himself to whatever was put in there. And so they just, you know, he was greedy. 30 pieces of silver, I can, you know, that was the price. Whatever the motive, whatever the intention, his heart and his eyes were not on Christ. His heart and his eyes were not on the kingdom. His heart and his eyes were on the world and something carnal and something to do with himself and not God. And the moment that you take your eyes off of Christ Jesus, the moment you take your eyes off the kingdom of God and put them on yourself, you begin to sink and you begin to go down and you take anybody else with you that will go with you. Now, in this situation, in this betrayal, Jesus stops again the carnal response of even his own disciples. The disciples want to respond a certain way, and Jesus says, "Wait, hold on." This is a fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus knows this is what's going to happen. Now we talked about power before, right? So Jesus had the power in this situation, but he kept it under control. But in this situation, you know, for us sometimes when things happen, it can be confusing. So what you need to do is when you are in a situation, you follow what Christ did. You take everything to God in prayer. You put it before Him when you're in that agony, when you're in that difficulty. And He gives clarity, gives light, gives strength through to go through that situation. Because it's not always what it appears to be on the surface. Okay, sometimes it is the world out and out trying to betray and trying to kill you, in which situation the Spirit of God, just like Daniel, will take you through. Now sometimes, like Acts 15, where you have a fallout between Paul and Barnabas, over Mark, right? Remember that? Okay, we already talked about it. In the body, there's different parts. See, the mistake that people make sometimes is they think the way that God made me is the way that God made you. So if something is important to me, it should be important to you too, because I'm walking with God. So if I'm walking with God and it's not important to you, then there's something wrong with you. No! Everyone's different. Everyone has a different... different assignment, different responsibility, different call and connection. To each, the servant, it rises or falls to the master himself. The master himself approves each servant. So, for us, for God's people, sometimes what happens is there comes a situation and it seems like, okay, this person says they're following God and this person over here says, and now there's a problem, there's an issue. Can I suggest you take it back to the head and ask Christ Jesus for clarification? So, and in taking it back to the head too, you know what happens with Paul and Barnabas? Is they split. They go two different ways. But you know what happens is years on, everything's fine, because if they both continue to walk with Christ Jesus, then Paul asks later on in his letter, says, would you please send Mark to help me with this ministry, because he's helpful for me in the ministry?
Mark, what is that? Even if you want to put a kind of mark, what is that? Mark, even if you want to be like, how to mind the normal.
just show you that one real quick? It's, I know we're a little bit over, but do you want to see that? Here, just let's just go there quick. Go to Acts chapter 15. All right, Acts chapter 15 and verse 36 said, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again unto visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Now, I want you to notice something here. The contention was just sharp between Paul and Barnabas, nobody else, not the church, just those two people. Because if the church themselves were looking to people and not to God, they would have gotten off track with what God was doing from that day forward. You would have had one group that said, okay, here's Paul. Who does Paul think he is? Barnabas introduced Paul to the church. And now Paul is off and he's being this big shot and thinks he's somebody special. Or there would be the other group, the other side now, because we have to take sides, and the other side says, who does Barnabas think he is? Doesn't he see the works that Paul has done in the name of Jesus, and this Mark has ditched everybody now, and who does he think he is now to take somebody up like this? God, that the church at that time was looking to Christ and not to human personalities. Because if at that time they were looking to human personalities like they do today, they would have been stuck. They would have never moved anywhere from there. What do? You keep your attention and your focus on Christ. God intended for them to split. And in time, God brought all things right as everyone focused their heart on Him and not their own personal agendas and their own personal kingdoms. There's one kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And that's it. We have run out of time, so I have to stop there. So we will stop there for today.